have a little thought on our heart this morning, been inspired with. I need your prayers. You may not be able to connect with the title through part of the message, but I trust that before we end, you will. This morning, we want to bring to our mind a very familiar scripture that we have firmly believed in, that the government shall be upon his shoulder. I always like it when it is said that it's only one shoulder. It didn't say it took both of his shoulders in order for the government of the church. It didn't take all of that. He has a spare, in other words. When we think about government, our minds may turn to our civil government, the government of our nation, and we would only have to describe it as divided and chaotic. But the government of the church being upon his shoulder is just the opposite. Yes. It is orderly. He has all sovereignty, or he is the supreme God. He is head of the church. He is head of the world. The scripture tells us that he sets up kings and he takes down kings. We may think, well, this one won the election and that one didn't and so forth, but God has a say in all of the kingdoms of this world. Do you believe that? I believe that. I trust in that. I believe that that's the kind of God that we are serving, an almighty God. Thank the Lord. But this morning, having said that about him having the government and the control of the church of God, I want us to look at the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see in what manner that he does govern the church of God. Now, I'm not going to be reading this straight through. I have skipped around in this chapter and listed some of the verses, connecting them together to try to make a point, you might say. So I have written it down in the order that I want. I'll tell you which verses I'll be reading, and if you will allow me, that's how we'll present this chapter this morning. Going to start at the verse 18, and it says, "Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." He knows how to order all things, including the members. And he knows who can fit where best. Thank the Lord. I like that. I believe in that. I trust in that. Verse 24 now. It says, "God hath tempered the body together." Now, this word temper, I want us to consider the meaning this morning. I think it's very important. Sometimes we pray and we say, "Lord, I want you to temper me." Have you ever prayed that way? There's something that happens when God tempers or changes a situation and makes it better. And this is what it means. It means to bring to a state of moderation by the addition of another quality. Now, I'm going to read that again so that we can get a hold of it. And you think about it. We're thinking about the church of God, the body of Christ, him setting the members in the body as it pleaseth him. And then he turns and he says, "I'm going to temper it. I'm going to add something to this that's going to make it a better thing." Now, man can't do that. We cannot figure out who preaches. We can't figure out who is the Sunday school teachers. We don't have that ability. We're not able to make that kind of a call. This word tempered also means to balance. It's balanced with his holy presence. That's this other quality. It's him. It's the Spirit of the Lord adding to the body of Christ, making it what it is. It's not anything else. He hasn't chosen the wisdom of this world. He hasn't chosen that because he has the wisdom to know how to order all things. It also means to combine in due proportion. Now, these are just some definitions for this word temper, and he tempers the body. He sets it in order, and then he tempers it with his holy presence. Now we're going to continue on in that chapter. We're going to go to verse 28 now. And God has set some. Now he said he set the members in the body as it pleased him. Now he says what he sets in the body. He set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, this is all familiar to us. Prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Gifts of healing, gifts of helps, gifts of government, and diversities of tongues or languages. And then we're going to go to verse 8 through 11. We're going to connect these verses. He sets them in the body. Then he tells what those positions are and what those gifts are. And then he says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Do you see the wisdom of needing wisdom in the church of God? We do have those that are gifted with wisdom in the church of God. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful that he gives that wisdom that is from above. Remember, we said it's not the wisdom of this world. It's not man's wisdom. It's a wisdom that comes from above. Thank the Lord. And so, and to another, the word of knowledge. To another, faith. To another, the gifts of healing. Now, he's speaking of all of those things that he is setting in the body as it pleaseth him. And now he's giving the call to these things. And another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Have you ever stopped and thought how important it is to have a spirit of discernment? And I believe that every one of us could be privileged to have the spirit of discernment. You need it. And I think that we may ask for these things, that we may be personally benefited in our walk with the Lord, in our living among the body, in our working with each other to have a spirit of discernment. We won't go any further than that. Into another, divers kinds of tongues. We're not going to let that distract us this morning. We're going to talk about, refer to that as different languages. We have people that are able to, I admire people that can speak other languages. And I admire even more the interpretation, and that's what he does. He is able to give another one interpretation of tongues or languages. And if you've ever worked with interpretation, it is a gift. There are certain people that can do it, and there are certain people that can't. And when it is ordered of the Holy Spirit and set in order, it flows. It literally flows. I have had the privilege of being interpreted before, and the interpreter was so gifted that I was hardly pausing in my words. Other times it's necessary for you to pause and let them say what they need to say in their language. But a true gift is one that it just flows. And God has that for his body. Thank the Lord. Now, we're still talking about the government being on his shoulder. I want to talk just a little bit now about the members. I'm still in the same chapter. I'm going to look at verse 13. I'll be skipping around on the verses. I'll be telling you which verses we'll be reading. Verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now, the foundation of this body, of this church, of the gospel, of the word of God is what? One. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one salvation. So it comes down, and then one or unity becomes the key for the body, that we be in the Spirit, we all be baptized into one body. So the foundation of all of this is one, single. Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many." In other words, it takes all of us to make up one body. And we each one are fitted in the body as it pleaseth him. Thank the Lord. Verse 15. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it not the body?" Verse 16. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it not of the body?" Verse 21. "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of thee." Do you see how he has tempered it with his holy presence, bringing all of it to fit together, working together, needing each other? Sister Angela wrote a song that we all have sang. We need each other, brethren. We are not independent. We're not independent of his Spirit, and we are not independent of each other. We need each other. So there isn't a part of this body that will be able to say, well, we don't need that part. We need the whole body. And all of us this morning are not willing to give up an eye or a foot or a hand. Literally, it handicaps us. If I didn't have all of my fingers play a part in the working of my hand. There is a part of the body of Christ that may be just a little finger, and it still is working and causing it to work and not be handicapped. Jesus did not die for a handicap, to make us a handicap people. We are to be workers together in him. Thank the Lord. So we need each other. Verse 17 now. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?" Do we need hearers? I believe we need hearers. Yes. And I think it's going to be a little more clear. "If the whole body were the hearing, where were the smelling?" Is smelling important? Is smelling important to you physically? It is. Because you will not be able to taste if you lose your smelling. And so therefore, we met a man one time, and he lost his smelling years ago. He cannot smell anything, but he also cannot taste anything. And now, why do we need a smell? Because we need to taste of something. And the scripture tells us, "Oh, taste and see." that the Lord is good. Where do we see his goodness? Not only in the experiences of our life, but we see his goodness, we taste of his goodness with our brothers and our sisters, with our fellowship, with our unity, with our love for one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what? Love one to another. I want to tell you, when we experience that, when we taste of love, we're tasting of his goodness. And it leads us. Now the scripture says that the goodness of the Lord leads men to something good, repentance. But I want to tell you, you and me tasting of his goodness leads us out into greener pastures and into strength and into grace and into faith. All of those things are working in the body, and thank the Lord, it promotes all of his goodness in each of our lives. And we, on the other hand, are promoting his goodness to one another, thank the Lord. So there isn't going to be one part of the body and that's just it. It's still going to be the whole body. Verse 23, and those members of the body we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. That's not natural. We don't naturally do that. Now, if you think of your body, we may think of our feet as being the least honorable. Anyone want to do without your feet? I don't want to do without my toes because they give me balance. In the body of Christ, every part of the body gives it balance. That's why he's able to temper it by adding his holy presence. It gives the whole body balance. Thank the Lord. So those members that seem to be insignificant, we really should pay them the most honor. They still have a place. They still have a function. They still do something that balances the body. Now let's go to verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now to 25, and I'll just give you part of that. And the members should have the same care one for another. Are you seeing a beautiful picture? Yes. I see a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, of the way it is designed to function when we allow the Holy Spirit to temper us and to set every member in the place that he so desires. I see that as beautiful. And at the same time, he wants us to have this care one for another in this body. Now, for right now, we'll continue reading, but that's the part that we want to finish with right now. Called. When he sets the members in the body, that could be a calling. We're called to fill a place. Everyone is. Doesn't matter if you're the least significant. You may feel like you are the least. I think that Paul felt that way. He even counted himself the most chief sinner. But he didn't see himself as high and lifted up. There is not a part of the body that can promote his goodness and be high and lifted up, that can be proud, that can be self-sufficient, that can be trusting in themselves or their abilities. We have to see our abilities as only that which God permits. And if we think otherwise, we'll get this thing out of balance. So we have a place. God sets the members. And the calling, this word calling, is to appoint and then qualify a person for some work or service. So God does the setting of the members. He does the calling. And when we all respond to our individual calling without ambition, I don't get it into my mind what I want to do, because that may not be what he wants for the body. So when I thought of this, I thought about some of the scriptures. What does the scripture say? It's a high calling. To be called to fill even the smallest place in the body is a high calling. And we are all called. All of us are called to be saints. Whatever position that he places us in the body, we all still have to be in the position of being called a saint of God and responding to that. We've got to be responding to being called out of sin. We've got to be responding to the scriptures that says being called out of the world. You see, I cannot be a part of the world and a part of the body of Christ all at the same time. It does not fit. It will not work. So I am called out of the world. I'm called out of sin. I'm called to a high calling, and I'm called to be a saint of God. I'm called, actually, it is foremost before any calling to be responding to these callings. I'm not going to come into the body and maybe not respond to the call of salvation. I cannot have a place in the body. There are some people that evolve. I've heard them say it. And maybe they thought that they had a calling to be a certain something in the body. And then after a while, they have another place. And I've heard it said, they said, well, we just evolved. You do not evolve. It is a calling. God can give you a calling for this place. Then he may see that you can fill another place as well. But you don't evolve into it. It's the same calling. It's the same principles. Thank the Lord. So before any calling, I must be responding to that call to salvation, the call out of the world, the call out of sin, and a call that is on a higher plane. It's a highway. And it says that the ignorant man won't err therein. And as we respond to the callings of God into holiness, then he will begin to place us in the body. Now verse 29. This is a very important verse, and it's going to lead us up to our main burden of the message. Verse 29 says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Well, what is the answer? No. We're not all going to be the same thing. We're in a body with different parts that need those parts working in order for this body to be effective and not handicapped. If we all were apostles, what would we be balanced? No. Who would be the hearers? Who would be the lay people? Who would be filling those other places, the gifts, There's many gifts that are maybe even obscure, hidden behind the scenes. Gifts of helps. Wonderful gifts. Gifts of government. All of these gifts, God wants them fitting together in his body to promote his goodness in all of the body. So the answer is no. Again, we may not all be called to the same thing, but we are all called to holiness and purity and righteousness. We have that calling. Thank the Lord. So I have a little thought now. Is the word missionary in the Bible? It's not. It's not listed among the callings. But the principle of that word is. Missionary is a word that is out there in the religious world. It's almost a popular word. We have churches that are promoting missionary trips, missionary medical trips, missionary young people's trips. Just got a little notice in my neighborhood that there is a church in our neighborhood that is sending young people on this missionary trip to some foreign country, and they're cleaning yards and earning their money to do it, and they're asking the neighbors to promote that. I know of missionary trips that, Sister Burdette had a grandson that was involved in a missionary field, and the way that he was supported was taking, what is it called when you say you'll give so much money every month?
Pledge.
So they send out these letters and asking for pledges to support them while they're on the mission field for X number of months or years. Is that a calling? Missionary is the missionary, the word missionary, its root word is mission. And so we can say that the principle is there in the Bible, but the word itself is not in the Bible. I found it in the side column speaking of Paul, and it talked about his missionary journeys, but it was man's interpretation of it. A mission simply means you are called and sent. But the word itself is not in the Bible. It is a popular word in the world. I'm just going to put that out there. Now I'm going to ask you, are we all called to be missionaries? We're not. There are people that are called to go to foreign lands and promote the gospel story. They are called. But we are not all called. Just as we are not all called to be apostles, we're not all called to be prophets. We're not all called to be teachers. We must find our place in the body and understand what my calling is. But we're not all called to be missionaries. Now, to have a missionary spirit is for all of us. But we're not all going to go across the ocean or to a foreign land. We're not. But I can go next door. I can be a witness. I can be a witness when I go to the grocery store. I can be a witness to my unsaved loved ones. That's a calling of a missionary spirit. Having a burden. We don't have to call it a missionary spirit. It's just simply that when a child of God receives the Holy Spirit, there is implanted in them, should be, a desire for others to have the same thing and to not believe a lie and be damned and to not be deceived. And many of our loved ones are blind and deceived, and we cannot always straighten out their vision, but we can live before them a life that is holy and pure, a life that is walking before God in holiness, and hopefully someday they will come and say, "Why do you have such a hope?" And the scripture says it, that you and I are to be ready to give an answer to those who ask, "What is the hope that you have?" God is the one that opens these avenues. He's the one that provides places to witness. Thank the Lord. So, we're not all going to be missionaries, just like we're not all going to be prophets. Now, I have written down here, we are all called to fill a place in the church. We are called to be witnesses in the world. And we are all called to be a light. That's scripture. So we all have some things that will be the same calling. It's general. So I want to say this to those who have gone on missionary trips, been sent, called, ordered, blessed, anointed. God has a place for that. But what about those that do not have that call? What about them? The Lord inspired me with the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And I'm going to encourage you to read that in your devotions. It's a wonderful chapter. It's the place where David, he and his men came back and they found their city burned and all of their families removed, lost. They lost everything. That's what's in that chapter. But there's a part of that chapter that became a statute and an ordinance for Israel from then on. And that's what we want to give to us this morning. I believe it applies to us today. And so it says that there were 400 men with David. They had gone to try to retrieve their goods and their wives and family. There were 200 men that abode behind, the scripture says. They went to recover, and they did recover. Not one of their loved ones were lost. God blessed. They also recovered much spoil. It was a profitable time for David and his men at that time. I want you to look at verse 22 of the 30th chapter. And this is the response of David's men. The men that went with David said this: "Because they went not with us, we will not give them any of the spoil we have recovered except for their families." So what do you think? You on a missionary trip? Got people that's left behind? That's what these men were. They were left behind. This is what David said. Ye shall not do this, brethren. Ye shall not do so, he said. As his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall, and I put it in my own words, share alike. So in the body, because he set all of it together, as it pleaseth him, all of it working together, so those that go on the missionary field and they come back, there is a portion of the spoil that is for those that stayed by the stuff and never went. Thank the Lord. I like this. So I'm going to say this to the little congregation here, that the few that stayed by the stuff, while the others went to the field, God is pleased when we stay by the stuff. It's very important. If we all get up and go and the doors are shut, we want to keep the doors to the house of the Lord open all the time when it's time for service. See? But God has a special blessing for those that are faithful. I don't want the enemy to ever begin to work on your mind and say, well, I never get to do anything exciting. Anybody ever had any thoughts like that? Fill your place in the body. God has a blessing that is unique for you and me. He has the blessing for those that go, but he has a blessing for those that stay. I'm going to testify. Our Wednesday night prayer meetings were precious while you that were gone to the field were gone. We had some rich prayer meetings. We had some that were exercising themselves because they were staying by the stuff. Thank the Lord. And God came down and anointed it. Praise God. I want to tell you, I don't think I'll forget it. So if you've been faithful to stay by the stuff, it's commendable and it's honorable, and God will honor it. Now I want to give you some couple of songs, parts of them. This song, the first time I ever heard it, it was little David Kelly. He was 5 years old, and he called this song out of the blue book just because he was 5 years old. One Wednesday night, he called number five. Well, we had never sang it before. It was so anointed, I think we sang it twice. It's become one of my favorite songs. But do you know why? Well, all of the verses are good. But listen to this verse. It may be I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning deserts to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. That's the ones that go. Then it has a verse. But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens beyond the billow's foam, I'll prove my faith in him, confess his judgments fair, and if he stays with me, I'll go anywhere. Yes, thank you. Thank the Lord. Whether I go or whether I stay. If I stay by the stuff, there's a blessing. If I follow the leadings of the Lord and go, there's a blessing. He's putting this thing together in a body, and it's beautiful. It works. It's balanced. But if we allow the enemy to come in and discourage us that are staying by the stuff, well, I don't think I'll go to prayer meeting tonight. There won't be very many there. I want to tell you, we miss a blessing. I love the chorus of this song. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. Oh, there's something here in this verse. I said a little bit ago that this word missionary, that the root word is mission. And what it meant, I gave the meaning of it. Being sent, called, ordered. I got this word this morning. I'm going to write it on the board. Prefix. Co-mission. What is the word co? What does the prefix mean? With. You and I can't go on no mission without him. He's the one that goes with us. And so this song says, I'll go anywhere as long as you go with me. Co-mission. I'll do anything. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. We have another song like that. And it says, 'tis heaven to me where'er I may be if he is there with me. Co-mission. What does the scripture say? If we build the house alone, we labor in vain. He's got to be the builder. He's got to be the sender. He's got to be the keeper. He's got to be the one setting all of the members in the body as pleaseth him. And it works. I count it a privilege here. Do you count it a privilege to be fitted in the body? Stay in your place. People that get out of their calling, out of their place, did you know they're a headache to the saints? Did you know they're a heartache to the saints? I'm going to go a little farther. They're a trial to the saints. When we get out of our place, it's not blessed. So I count it a privilege here. His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. I like that song. Well, now you're probably saying, what about this word? I'm going to end with that. Lorne was looking in some, and he actually sang it here one Wednesday night. And I don't know how many remembered it. But the song spoke to me. It was so anointed to me. And I'm not going to read all of the verses. I've just chosen out little parts of it. But the name of the song is Ready. And this is what it says. Ready to stay home and send others he sees best. I'm ready to stay here by the stuff. Ready to go, ready to bear. All the Lord is calling for you and me is to yield to what he wants us to do and be in the body. Ready to stand aside and give. ready to stand where he sees fit, ready to bear the strain. Is there a strain? There is. We can feel the strain when we stay by the stuff. We can feel the strain when we go. But we're ready. We're ready to bear the strain. And then this is the chorus. Ready to go, ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great. Be willing to fill the lowliest place if necessary. You'll be the greatest blessing. You'll receive the greatest blessing. I was trying to look up this verse, and I couldn't find it. But I've heard it referred to. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And then it said something about enjoying the pleasures of sin or something to that effect. I couldn't find it. Dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather do this. Just a doorkeeper, the smallest place, the most seemingly insignificant place. Would you rather do it? Because this says, whether it's small or great, ready for service, lowly or great, ready to do his will. Are you ready? You ready to fill whatever place he's calling you to fill? You ready to step in and say, I'll fill that place for you, Lord? I remember when the Lord was calling me to the ministry. And I have testified about it a number of times. Not necessarily this part, but it was just the hardest thing for me to submit and be called a woman preacher. Say what you will, women do have a lower place, and they also meet different things that men don't. And it took me a long time, but I remember the first time that I went to an altar. I couldn't even tell the one that I was praying with. I could not even tell them what I was praying about. But the Lord knew, and I finally made that consecration to the ministry. And you know what the Lord said as soon as I said it? He said, where I lead you, I'll give you grace. And I had peace. Wherever God is calling or desiring for you to fill a place, wherever he leads you, he will give you grace to fill it. Pray for me.